Brother Brad called me today and said that Texas, right, said that all abortion clinics must remain closed during this time. One other state said they weren't going to follow that because it goes by the states. But you know, they'll let the clinics open to kill babies. excuse me, but they won't allow the church to remain open to feed our soul. Right? So you see how corrupt the government is, and you know, it's up to each mayor. Is it each mayor of each state, or what is it? Governor of each state to make their own ruling, and you can just watch what goes on with this now. Who is for God and who is not, and who wants freedom to rule and reign in the land by what they do. I was reading also where they have one church has made a way for everybody to have communion tonight. They've marked off their parking lot, and their congregation can come and sit in their car. And I think it's a good idea, sit in their car and take communion. You know, the pastor will be inside doing it, and they'll be able to hear it, and then they'll take communion in their car. And I was thinking, you know, if you really want to serve God, you're going to find a way, right? And I just think all the wonderful ways that they are thinking about where they can hold church and be fed and still hold on to their Father. We need to understand that the enemy is trying everything within his power to destroy the body of Christ. And it's up to you and I to make sure he doesn't destroy your body of Christ. You know, because each one of us individually make up the body, right? Tonight, when I go into teaching, the reason why we're not having communion is because some of you don't know the real meaning of communion. And, you know, like they're going to do massive communions over the airwaves and everything, you know, different churches are. And I'm just wondering how many of them are heaping condemnation upon themselves by taking communion when they are not fit to take communion. So tonight we're going to learn that, and then you can go home and take communion yourself whenever, if you feel like that you're ready and able and you pass all the requirements that God's Word said we need to pass. And Father, I thank you tonight for this opportunity to teach your children. I thank you, Father God, that this is a time that we need to be so in tune to you and your voice, and we need to hear what you have to say, totally and completely 100% truth. Nothing mixed in with it, Father God, but total truth. And Father, tonight, as the people listen to your message, open up their spiritual ears. Let them really hear what your word tells us to do, and let them see and understand all things. And I'm asking that your Holy Spirit be with each and every one of them, and that your Holy Spirit opens up the airwaves over them, and that they can receive all that you have for them. I thank you for your Son, Jesus, who truly did shed his blood at Calvary so that we could one day sit in heavenly places with you. And I thank you for your angelic host, who many are seeing right now. I thank you for them, Father God, that they are out there doing their work also. And Father, I thank you that all of your plans are being brought forth and being accomplished at this given time. And the enemy has totally lost. He can no longer throw his fiery darts at your children, at your church. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I also heard where people who had the virus and got over it are getting it again. I didn't read the whole article. That was just the headlines on it. It was saying, why are they doing this? I think we're focusing too much on the virus and not on God, not enough on God. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of hearing about it. Every place, that's all you hear. And I'm really tired of hearing about it. I'm sorry, but writing about it isn't going to stop it, you know, and shutting down places are not going to stop it. It's as the body of Christ gets on their knees and prays, because God's been saying that a long time. And now everything I read, God says, as my people learn to pray, it's then that I'm going to come and I'm going to stop this plague. And so whenever you shouldn't be out there talking about the virus, you should be talking about the goodness of the Lord, and if we need to pray. You stand in a circle and you talk about it over and over and over again, it just gives it more strength. But if you quit doing that and just praise God through all things, then God can move and God can stop this thing. I just really appreciate each and every person that's emailed me to say that they're enjoying the sermons. And we really do miss them, not being in the house of God. And I'm really believing God opens up the doors sooner than anybody believes, so that we can all be together once again. I don't know about you, but I really miss Sister Grace with her flags, especially tonight. You know, when Sister Barbara picked up a little American flag, I thought, you know, if Grace was here, she'd just be dancing all over the place. And see, it also helps us appreciate each other, does it not? You know, she might not think she's an integral part of the body, but she surely is. All right, let's talk about communion. All right, first of all, this is Passover. Passover starts tonight, right? Starts tonight. And if you notice, we have the scarf over the door for the Passover. And I don't know, Sister Barbara put one in her doors, and I put one in all my doors. And I hope you put up the mark your door so that the death angel passes over you and God brings life into your home and not death. You know, that just doesn't mean death of your body. That could be death of your finances. It could be death of anything, you know. And I don't know about you, but I put one in every one of my doors. I don't want no death angel coming anywhere near me of any type. I truly am praying and believing that God's going to pass, you know, the death angel's going to pass totally and completely over my house. Aren't you praying that for yourself too? And you know, you are the ones who are in the body of Christ. You are the ones who know the truth. So it's up to you to do it for your household. Like somebody said, what's that up there now, Mom? And I said, that's the Passover, so that a death angel doesn't come in here. They said, okay. But you know, they need to know and understand these things, right? So a lot of people are teaching on Passover tonight, but I'm going to teach on communion. Passover is very, very, very important. It really is, and I'm not diminishing how important it is. But communion is very important also. So in the upper room, Jesus prepared both himself and his disciples for his coming death. He gave the Passover meal a new meaning. The loaf of bread and a cup of wine represent his body that was soon to be sacrificed and his blood that will be shed. So today we know and call this the Lord's Supper. So in Matthew 26:17, now on the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? And Jesus said, go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. When I read that, I thought, wouldn't that be exciting to have Jesus hold his last supper at your home? So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, Lord, is it I? Jesus answered and said, he who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man, and Jesus said, the Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered, said, Rabbi, is it I? And Jesus said to him, you have said it. He was dipping his hand at the same time Jesus was, if you look at the pictures. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Which covenant? New, not the old covenant, but the new covenant. Jesus said, "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, Jesus and his disciples, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Now, over the years, a lot of us have been taught that communion is largely a symbolic thing or simply an act of remembrance. But it is clear from the New Testament that the early Christians saw it as being much more than that. Otherwise, why would they have taken communion every day from house to house? Acts 2:46, they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their group those who are being saved. It says they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper. Also, if it was only symbolic, why did Paul say what he said in 1 Corinthians 11:29? "For if you eat the bread or drink the cup unworthily, not honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself." What did it say? "For if you eat the bread or drink the cup unworthily, not honoring the body of Christ." Do you know, as they're doing this mass communion, there's a lot of people that aren't even saved that's drinking, doing this. And God said, "Here, if you do it unworthily, you are, what are you doing? You're eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. Because you keep taking communion when you're really not in the right place to take communion." Think about it. How can a mere symbol have the power to actually make people that sick when it is misused? The fact is, just like baptism, the Lord's Supper is no symbol at all. It is very real. Partaking of the life of Jesus afresh. And it is very clear from all the New Testament writings on the subject that the apostles were very aware how powerful and important it was. And see, churches don't act like it's powerful. And like we used, every church, once a month you had communion. So when I started church, once a month we had communion. And God told me I needed to quit that, because it wasn't being used the way it should have been. And so I told the people, "We won't take it once a month. We'll only take it when God tells us to take it." And from that point on, that's when we did it. However, based on the scriptures, it is obvious that what we are really partaking of in communion is spiritual life of the most powerful kind, an actual refreshing within us of the bread of life and the cleansing blood of the new covenant that washes us from sin. We are supposed to partake of it by faith, a fresh impartation of the very essence of Jesus himself. Now let's go up there and read that again. Go up there, Brett, where it says the fact is just like baptism. The fact is just like baptism. The Lord's Supper is no symbol at all. Baptism isn't a symbol either. It is very real, partaking of the life of Jesus afresh. And it is very clear from all the New Testament writings on this subject that the apostles were very aware how powerful and important it was. However, based on the scriptures, it is obvious that what we are really partaking of in communion is spiritual life of the most powerful kind, an actual refreshing within us of the bread of life and the cleansing blood of the new covenant that washes us from sin. We are supposed to partake of it by faith, a fresh impartation of the very essence of Jesus himself. Let's take a look in the scriptures and find proof of all of this. Remember Jesus' words when he first partook of the Lord's Supper with his disciples in Matthew 26:26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Notice that Jesus did not say, "This is a symbol of my body or blood." He said, "This is my body, this is my blood." And that is clearly the way his followers were to treat communion from that time on. It was to be a real partaking of all the empowering and cleansing found in the spiritual body and blood of Jesus. It was to be taken in faith, receiving from God a fresh impartation each time. If you take it every day, then what you're taking is a fresh impartation of the power of Jesus. So if you want new power each day, start your day out with communion and get that fresh impartation. Remember, Jesus had said these dramatic words in John 6:53. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me." He said, "My flesh is food." So when you take the cracker or the bread, that's the food, that's his flesh. And then he said, "And my blood is drink." So when you drink the juice, then you're drinking of the blood of Jesus. In the same passage, Jesus had spoken of himself as the bread of life, and the bread that came down from heaven. John 6:58. "This is a bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." He who feeds on this bread will live forever. We also know that Jesus is the Word of God in Revelation 19:13. "He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." John 1:1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was a light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend him yet." Jesus is the Word, isn't that what we just read? As well as the bread of life. Jesus was with God whenever God created the earth. He is the Word. This is the very essence of what we are partaking of here. And we also know exactly what the blood is all about. All the way through the scripture, we are told that the life is in the blood. And we are told that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Question: are you ready to partake of communion as a fresh impartation of these very things to you? If you are, then you are ready to partake of it, just as they did in the book of Acts. This is clearly why they partook of it every day. It was that important. It was that important, and that is why we should start making it a practice to partake of communion every morning. I was telling somebody this evening that when Larry was alive, him and I took communion every day. Then when he got sick and passed away, I just didn't pick it back up again. But I'm going to pick it back up again. And I believe with all my heart that as we start having communion every day, we will find that our lives are going to turn and be totally different than what they were. I believe we will have the fresh power and the fresh anointing that we need that will draw others unto Christ. You know, and don't be in sin, steeped in sin, and partake of communion. Make sure you get yourself right before you do this. And what I meant by that was, you know, if you have some problems in your life, make sure you talk to God about it and you know, and just get yourself right with God before you take the communion. All right. They used communion as a means of abiding in Jesus and partaking of his life once more. It was like the children of Israel who partook of the manna in the wilderness each day to stay alive. Maybe that's why the death angel is always around us, because we are not using this as another weapon that God has given us, and we are not using it every day. We plead the blood of Jesus every day, but do we take communion every day? No, most of us don't. You see what I'm saying? God's saying, as you start to do this thing that I'm speaking of you tonight, to you tonight, you will see a drastic change within your life. Your mindsets will change. Old habits will change. And you'll find yourself freshly, newly empowered each and every day with my anointing. We have heard of cases where people have actually been physically healed through partaking of communion in this deeper way. Oh, everybody runs around with high blood pressure or diabetes. Why don't you start taking communion every day for the healing of that? You see what I'm saying? You know, if you have old habits you can't break, go before God, talk to God, and then take communion. And let God take that old habit away from you. This is not surprising. Well, okay, so they were healed through partaking of communion in this deeper way. This is not surprising because they are partaking of the very life and cleansing of Jesus by faith. We really need to be doing this all the time, just like the early church. And you have to stop to think about it. If you're worried, I can't believe the fear about this virus, but if you would just start taking communion and get your mind off the virus, you know, you would soon find yourself walking in total freedom and in good health. Right? Question. What was it that the Corinthians were doing that actually seemed to turn the power of communion against them? Now let's read this very carefully. 1 Corinthians 11:17. But now when I mention this next issue, I cannot praise you, for it sounds as if more harm than good is done when you meet together. First of all, I hear that there are divisions among you when you meet as a church, and to some extent I believe it. But of course there must be divisions among you so that those of you who are right will be recognized. It's not the Lord's Supper you are concerned about when you come together. For I am told that some of you hurry to eat your own meal without sharing with others. As a result, some go hungry while others get drunk. What? Is this really true? Don't you have your own homes for eating and drinking? Or do you really want to disgrace the church of God and shame the poor? What am I supposed to say about these things? Do you want me to praise you? Well, I certainly do not. For this is what the Lord himself said, and I pass it on to you, just as I received it. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant between God and you, sealed by the shedding of my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." Paul says, so if anyone eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily, that person is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking from the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup unworthily, not honoring the body of Christ, you're eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. But if we examine ourselves, we will not be examined by God and judged in this way. But when we are judged and disciplined by the Lord, we will not be condemned with the world. So, dear brothers and sisters, when you gather for the Lord's Supper, wait for each other. For if you are really hungry, eat at home, so you won't bring judgment upon yourselves when you meet together. I'll give you instructions about the other matters after I arrive. So the main problems this church seem to be divisions amongst themselves, which the body of Christ has, not preferring one another, which the body of Christ has, and partaking of communion in a very fleshly and carnal way. That describes the church today, doesn't it? And this is what I'm saying. Many out there that are taking communion tonight are not taking it worthily. And I'm asking each one of you tonight to please start thinking how you really take communion, and are you taking it the way God really wants you to take it? This is why Paul says, remember communion is all about partaking of the one body of Christ. So it is not just oneness with Jesus, it is also oneness with our brothers and sisters. It is a thing of true heart unity. That is why when we have communion, we tell you we're going to have it. We set it up here and say, when you are right with God, then you come up and get your communion. Because I don't want you just, somebody just give you, run around here and give you something to drink and something to eat, and you go ahead and do it unworthily. You are supposed to be getting yourself right with God before you partake of his body. Right? This is why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. I've been in churches where they've had communion. They can't wait for the juice to come around so they can try to get drunk on it. They can't get more than one cup of it. And then they, when you have to break the bread off yourself, they break a big piece of bread off. Or if they look in the dish, they look to see which is the biggest piece of bread. See, that's unworthy. That is not the way you take communion. But I've watched all those things take place. And then they think they're all right. And really, they're not. So, heart unity amongst your brethren is very important to God. If you have something against a brother or sister, it is important to go and make things right before taking communion. Do you know how many people are taking communion night are upset with somebody else? They're probably so upset with them they haven't talked to them for 10 years. You know what I'm saying? And whose fault is it? Is it the pastor's fault because they're not taught? And let's face it, a lot of people don't read their Bibles for themselves. They just don't. And so if you're a pastor, what you're supposed to do is be teaching them the Bible, right? In the right way to live. So is it pastor's fault because they don't teach the right way to take communion? Or is it the person's fault because they've heard it and they just don't care? They're just going to take it because they don't want to look left out. I don't know. But everybody takes communion knows what they're doing. Remember, we are all kings and priests. Therefore, any one of us can pray and break bread amongst ourselves in our own homes and gatherings. You don't have to, you know, when people say, we want communion, I say, well, God isn't telling me to have communion. So if you want communion, you can take it home all by yourself. And that's not ignorant because I take it by myself at home. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to wait till you walk through church doors to take communion. That doesn't make it any more greater. There's no more anointing on it than it is when you take it in your home. Right? Wouldn't that be right? Just taking communion in the church doesn't make it more anointed. Some of our homes are more anointed than the churches are. Isn't that right? Come on. Aren't your communion scriptures are 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 31, and Matthew 26, 26 through 38. And remember that bread is the broken body of Christ, and wine is the blood of Christ. I hope that each one of you go home tonight and you do take communion, but you do it now in a different way than you ever done it before. But if you're already taught and you're taking it in the right way, I just thank God for that. And I thank God that there's somebody taught you the right way to take communion so that you weren't taking it unworthily. God is looking down upon us, church, right now, and he's telling me that church needs to pray more than ever. And, you know, we need to start spending more time on our knees, crying out to God so that this thing that's plaguing the United States will stop. When we were singing the song America, you know, he said that America will see his glory again. We will see God's glory again if we do our part. Because God said he'll do his part whenever we do our part. And our part is to pray like we never prayed before. And God told me yesterday, he said, Satan has the church's back against the wall, but the church does not have to stay there. They have the power and authority to push Satan away from them. So church, we do have power and authority. Don't let the enemy tell you you don't. And just because a plague is upon America doesn't mean America's dead. America will only die if the church stays dead. God is trying to get the church to come alive. He's trying to get the church to take their rightful place in their communities. We cannot be afraid of what the enemy will do to us. We can't be afraid of that. We shouldn't fear anything, absolutely anything. We should be trusting God with total and complete faith that he is well able to do everything he's promised us to do. A lot of you sitting in here tonight, you know without a shadow of a doubt that God has been dealing with you for at least 2 years to get it together. And now this big thrust right now is you either get it together or you're done. This just is where it's at. It's that matter of fact, because the harvest has to be brought in, and the harvest can't wait any longer. It has to be brought in. It is a time for the great harvest. It doesn't matter what's going on around about us, because God said gross darkness would cover the land, but his glory would be greater. Isn't that what he's been saying for a couple years now? So who do we believe? Do we believe the government? Do we believe what the voices of the enemy out there speaking all the gloom, doom, and despair? I was telling Brother Aaron tonight that yesterday I walked into the bathroom to put the towels in there, and all of a sudden I just felt in the atmosphere there was such a heaviness of communism that hit me. And God said, this is where America's headed if they don't learn to pray. And I don't know about you, but I don't want communism. I really don't want that. And I remember, as I pray to God, I remember how he said it. Right now, the Christians are being come against. And remember, we talked about how they were being come against overseas, and God said, that's going to come to America's shores. It's here. The enemy's here. He's not coming. He is here. And he's trying with everything he has to tear down the church and to put us in bondage. Saints, we cannot sit by and let the enemy do what he's trying to do, and that shut us down. We sit by and watch the Bible being taken out of school, prayer being taken out of school. We sit by and watch a lot of things happen. We can't sit by any longer. We have to rise up, and we have to pray. I didn't say go out here and fight the government. I said pray. As we pray, y'all, all you know about the courtroom, it's as we pray, take things to the courtroom of heaven, God can do the works. But he can't do anything unless we pray. I was reading a prophetic word that a little Jewish girl received from the Lord. And then God said that the enemy is upon the churches right now. And he has been commanding the churches to pray, but they still are not praying like they ought. They're still not taking this serious enough. And if we will do our part, then He'll do His. And He's told us that many, many times. He's told me myself that, you do your part, daughter, and I'll do what I have to do. So each one of you in here, if the enemy takes you over, it's not God's fault. It's your fault because you weren't doing your part. You weren't praying. You weren't doing the things you need to do to keep the enemy at bay. Are you listening? This church has a great works to do. From the day the doors opened, we always had a great works to do. And now we're in a new dispensation of time. And you guys that God has sent into this church to be trained, your leader, every one of you have leader ability. But are you going to use that leader ability, or are you going to let the enemy take that leader ability away from you? Because he'll try. He'll try at every turn to take that away from you so that God can't use you. Even though God wants to use you, the enemy's trying to make sure he doesn't. I can't make you do what God wants you to do. God can't make you do it. All we can do, all I can do and all God can do speaking through me is to instruct you. It's like I told somebody in my house yesterday. I talked to them, they listened, and I said, now, I know you hear what I'm saying, and I can't make you do it. I'll just keep praying. We had a nice conversation. And I'll just keep praying. They heard the word. They heard what I said is what I mean. And now it's up to them whether they heed that word and do what I told them they had to do. Same way with us. God will speak to us. He speaks to us all the time prophetically, does he not? He instructs us all the time, does he not? But do we follow his instructions? That's where the rubber meets the road. Now, are we a church of unity or are we not? Because God told me this shaking that's going on, he said, I'm going to shake everything in the lighthouse that can be shaken. And I'll shake out what doesn't want to change. So, it's not God's fault if he shakes you out. It's your fault because you did not yield to what he was telling you to do. And you kept coming against the leaders or whatever. And so God had to shake you out. He cannot work in disunity, church. He can't. And, one pastor said he found out that every Christian should have a deliverance. He never believed in it. But he finally has come to the reality that every Christian needs a deliverance. He said, because of the fear, that the Christians are portraying. He said that fear needs to be taken out of them, if nothing else. Now, when you go through deliverances, it's up to you whether or not you really let them come out or you pretend they come out. It's up to you to keep them out if they come out. Because they're going to try to come back. Isn't it what the Word says? When they come back and find the house all swept and clean and you're not praying, you're not doing the things you want to do, but so they come right on in, and how many more do they bring with them? 10 more, isn't it? 7? Well, sometimes I think it's 707, don't you? it's your job to keep your house clean once you're delivered. The enemy's always kind of come to you and speak in your ears, isn't he? He's always going to try to make you go back into that old lifestyle, but that doesn't mean you have to. I don't have an old lifestyle, so what he whispers in my ears every day? You're going to die and never fulfill your calling. Every day I hear that. And I have to tell him where to go, back into the pit, and to shut up, that I know where I'm going, I know what's going to happen to me. He laughs at me. Every day he comes, just as faithful. Every day I have to do the same thing, just as faithful. How about you? Aren't there things in your life, maybe not, that every day the enemy comes to plague you with a thought, doesn't he? See, you have the ability either to listen to him or to tell him to shut up. It's you that has to say, Satan, my ears don't hear you. My ears only hear the voice of God. According to God, his sheep hear his voice and his voice only. Isn't that what it says? All right, now let's put another thing this way. If you're really sold out to God and you have children, guess who he's going to attack when he can't attack, when he finds out he can't get you? He's going to attack your children. So your job is to right up front keep your children covered. And they're going to act out like crazy, but you tell the devil, no, I'm not looking at what I'm seeing. I'm believing what God told me, that my children would all serve him. And he showed me a vision of my kids, Bible one hand, the other hand up in the air, praising the Lord. That's, I tell Satan, that's the picture I see, not the one you're trying to paint for me. Right? What has God promised you? That is what you need to hold on to each and every day. That's what you have to hold up to Satan each and every day when he comes to plague you. God's told you you're going to have businesses, and when you're trying to maybe think about business, the enemy comes, you can't do that. You say, that's what you say, devil, but God says differently. God said, yes, I can. And so I'm going to. I'm not listening to you, devil, because you have no power and you have no authority. You can't make me believe you, and I'm not going to believe you, right? So I'm really trusting and believing that right now, I know it's really hard, you know, just for a few of us to be here, just what it takes to do the video, but you know, we come in the doors, you feel the happiness, you feel the joy. You know, the Holy Spirit isn't put out. He's still here. And so God is really in control. And I read another article, another prophetic word, where God said that he had raised up churches to be refuges in the storm. And, you know, God, I don't know how many years ago, God told me to put that sign up there. Well, anyhow, the prophet said that God is now going to use these churches as refuge centers to send the lost and dying into. So that's the case, and that is the case. Why do you think the devil's fighting you so hard? Trying to keep everyone in here in disunity. And I wouldn't go home and take communion if I was you, if I had aught against anybody in this church, until you make it right. I'm serious. God just told me that. So, you know, if you really love the Lord, then you really love your brothers and your sisters. And you'll make it right with them. Honestly, sincerely make it right with them. And then go ahead and take your communion. Amen. I don't know about you, but the God I serve is really a good God. You know, the God that I serve, as I read the word, that he sent out plague after plague, and many, many people were killed. But it was all because his church was not doing what it was supposed to be doing. So we can't blame God for anything. It's us. We're the one that dropped the rain, and we're the one that let the world run rampant and do the things they've done. The word I want to use is rampant. All right? Where are you? God's asking me to ask you, where are you at in the stream of his blood? Are you in the center of the stream? Allowing yourself to be immersed with the blood continually? Or are you standing on the edge, not wanting to be touched by it? Each of us has to make up our own mind where we're standing. And tonight, I'm believing that you're making up your mind, that you're standing in the middle of the stream, saying, God, just pour it all on me. From the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, because, Father, I want to serve you with all of my heart. Now, everybody's been saying that that there's going to be, you know, this Passover is very important, and a lot of things are going to happen at the end of the Passover. Now, if I was each one of you, I would be seeking God's face. See, I might hear something, but I don't really take it into my spirit till it's confirmed to me by the Father. If I was each one of you, I would be seeking God's face for myself and asking God exactly what are you going to do with me? Where are you taking me to at this given time? Am I in right standing with you? Am I in your perfect will? Because none of us want to be in his submissive will, do we? No, we don't. So each one of you tonight, before you take communion, make sure you're in right standing with each other first, and then make sure you're in right standing with God. Because you're not in right standing with God if you're not in right standing with each other. All right? forgive and forget and go on. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We love you, Father. I heard you say that you love us, Lord. We love you back, Father, from the very depths of our being. And Father God, right now, there's no distance in you. I'm asking you, Father God, go to each household. Touch each person, Father God, with your glory. Let your Holy Spirit consume them right now, Father. And Father God, as they take communion, empower them from on high. Bring them forth, Father God, bolder than they were before this night. And let them not be afraid to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, the true gospel. And Father God, I know that you are tired of the church playing church. So Father God, each one of us tonight, we don't want to play church any longer. We want your glory to settle down upon us right now. Fill us from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. Bring us, Father God, into your bosom and let us be vessels of honor that you can work through.